And now, Kindlach, we are starting the 18th chapter of the story of Reb Moshe, the Alter Rebbe Zayde. Now we were hearing story about Reb Alter Rebbe's Elter Zayde. We're hearing a story about Reb Moshe's teacher, Reb Moshe's Rebbe, his name was Reb Ashriya, and his son. And there's a very interesting story behind him about an old man who everyone thought was a little bit not normal, called Ashriya Nissen, but it turned out that he was a big tzaddik nister. And he promised
Rabbi Yisrael Chaim.
You knew that. He promised Bracha that they lost a lot of children. Even they had one boy, his name was Simcha, who passed away when he was like 5. He promised them that they're going to have a child who's going to live and be a big Talmud Chacham. And a few months after Ashriya Nissen passed away, Rabbi Yisrael Chaim and his wife found out very, very exciting news. And this is where we were up to yesterday. The exciting news was that what was the exciting news?
I don't know
that Rabbi Yisrael Chaim's wife has a baby in her stomach. She's pregnant. She's expecting. Rabbi Yisrael Chaim and his wife. First, they kept it a secret because they didn't want Ayin Hara. But eventually, you can't keep it a secret forever, right? So when the mommy has this baby in her stomach, it gets bigger and bigger. Everyone found out about it. And the people of Poznan remembered...
it's not going to be a secret forever.
That's right. The people of Poznan remembered the bracha that Rabbi Rosh Yonason, the Tzadik Nister, gave by the Levaya. And they were waiting to see what's going to happen. Will it be a boy? Will it be a girl? Because he said they should name him after him. You can't. It's a girl. They can't do that. About a year after Rabbi Ashriya Nissen passed away, the couple had a baby boy. Rabbi Yisrael Chaim right away arranged that all the kinlach should come say Shema by the baby's crib. And on the 8th day, they made him a bris.
We just put his coffee on the table.
Guess what they called him?
Ashriya.
Very good. They called the baby Ashriya Nissen.
Without asking.
What do you mean without asking? They don't ask a baby. Did mommy and tati ask you what they're going to call you?
Yeah.
No, I mean that
Hashem.
Yeah, Hashem decides for the and puts it into the kepel of the
Mami and Tati. Do they ask the
Mayel
to name
it? Yeah, they tell them. It's not the Mayel usually. It's a different person who they ask him to give the name.
He decided to
tell us for Mami decided. Well, it was Hashem put it into our head. Anyway, the baby grew up nicely. He developed well. And even there were times that the parents who already had a lot of very not good experience with this, when things got a little tough and it looked like Chas V'Shalom that the little Ashriya Nissen is in a sakana, they remembered this bracha of the special tzaddik and his promise, and they had bitachin. Everything will be okay. And when he was 8 years old, he was not stam. 8-year-old, he looked like a 12-year-old, he was very big and tall. But not only his body was big and tall, he also his mind was very, very developed. He didn't have a mind of an 8-year-old, he had a mind of a much older bacher. And when he was 10 years old, he already finished, usually you wait till you're 14, 15 till you finish the cheder. When he was 10 years old, he already finished learning. He was like in the highest class. He like went to 8th grade when he was 10 years old. Could you imagine that?
I don't know when he went to 8th grade when he was 10
years old. Yeah? I don't think so. So the Rosh Yeshiva, who was in charge of the yeshiva, told the father that I think you should let Ashriya Nissen learn himself. He doesn't even need a Rebbe anymore. He could learn himself. And the whole Poznan started to realize pretty quickly that this boy is an Ilui. He's not Stam, a boy. He's a genius. Anyone who spoke to him in learning right away saw how he knew so much and he was very, very sharp. Now, when he was about 12 years old, 2 years later, he told his parents that he wants to go learn in the big yeshivas in Poilin and Lita, which were very famous at the time, and to learn from the big Goyim of the generation. The parents agreed, and Ashriya Nissen had another reason Ashriya Nissen's father, Rabbi Yisrael Chaim, there's another reason that he agreed to this plan. Because very soon, in about a year, Ashriya Nissen would become Bar Mitzvah. And he was a little worried about this bar mitzvah. The people of Poznan were all getting ready for this bar mitzvah because he was a very, very special boy. And Rabbi Yisrael Chaim was worried that he and his son are going to get too much covered by this bar mitzvah. And also, he was a little bit concerned of Ayin Hara. They didn't want everyone to talk about how great he is. Sometimes it's better that people don't talk about how some people are lucky. One bright day, Poizner found out that the Ilui of the town, Asher Yenison, disappeared. No one knew where he's going. They asked the parents, "Where's your son?" They said, "We don't know. All we know is that he went to learn in the yeshiva and to do galus." And Asher Yenison walked around like this for 6 years from place to place.
Where did he have his bar mitzvah?
Huh? Wherever he was. I guess he had tefillin. He prepared before. And wherever he was up, so he made his bar mitzvah. And throughout the time, probably no one knew. He didn't make a big deal out of it because he was far away.
His father had to make the bracha.
That's a good question what he did. I don't know. But probably you can make the bracha also on the day of the bar mitzvah. He said he probably can make the bracha on the day of the bar mitzvah, even if the child is not there. Because what happens is that when the boy turns 13, the father makes the bracha. It doesn't matter if the father is with the boy or not.
Why?
Anyway, and he's managed to spend time in the big yeshivas of Prague, Krakow, Lublin, Brisk, and he learned from the big yeshivas over there. He even went to the Goyim of Germany and France. 6 years later, he came back to Poznan, and he was already old enough to get married. They made a shidduch for him with a daughter of one of the richest people of the town, who promised to support the young couple and to pay for their apartment, to pay for their food, for an unlimited amount of time, as long as the Rosh Hashanah wants to learn. And the genius younger man sat and learned the whole day. And Poizner had a lot of respect for this Talmud Chacham, for this young guy, and they called him with very, very honored titles. They used to call him the guy, and the great, the gadol, different names like that. And for 10 whole years, Asher Yenison closed himself up in a special Beis Medrash that is... Anyway, and for 10 years he was in the special Beis Medrash that is Shver, built for him right next to his house, and he sat there and learned day and night. And from time to time, he allowed in one of the younger goyim or the older goyim of the city. He learned himself. But sometimes he would let in someone to talk to in learning, because people wanted to ask him questions, because he was the greatest Talmud Chacham of the city. So he let people come from time to time. This is before. This is before. The Kaddish and Binyamin were not born yet. Now, one problem that Rabbi Asher Yenison, the Ilui, had, what was his one problem? As big as he was a Talmud Chacham, he was also, unfortunately, a shtickle, Balgaiva. And whenever we would talk about other Gedolei HaTorah in that generation, at that time, he would like talk with disrespect. He said, that Rav is not a Talmud Chacham. Very soon. That Rav is not a Talmud Chacham. This Rav, he would talk about himself as that he's the greatest, and no one else was smart like he was. And the truth is that a lot of the Goinim actually agreed that that's the case, that Asher Yenison is much smarter than everyone else. His memory and his outstanding. Anything he learned even once was, he saw, he heard, he learned it was in his mind forever. From when he was 2 years old, he remembered everything that happened to him. And also his sharpness. He was also very, very, he had a very smart mind. He was able to understand things very well, not just memorize them. And there was actually, when he was still a young boy, there was a yid called Yosef Yisrael, the musician.
Tati.
And we'll talk about why he was called a musician. He was, one second, he was a neighbor of his father, and when Yosef Yisrael would say psukim and whole kapitola, whole prokim from Tanakh, little Asher Yenison would right away was able to repeat them, and it stayed in his head, and he never forgot it. Already then, people knew that he's going to be great. Who was this Yosef Yisrael, the musician? Or should we really not musician? His name was Yosef Yisrael, the harp man. Who was he? He was a very special person, and he got the name of the harp man because any chasm that he would come to, he would participate by playing on a harp. You know what a harp is?
He
And he was actually very good at this. He was a very good musician, but he never wanted to take any money for it. And Bechlal, he would stay away from people. He didn't like, you know, he didn't like talking to people. He would just come out. Like a cold person. He would just come out by chasanes to be msamech the chasan and kala. That was the only time that he would talk to people and hang around with people. What was his job? His parnasa, he was a goldsmith. And he was outstanding with the jewelry that he made. He would make jewelry. And it was very, very special. Everyone spoke about it. It was very beautiful pieces. And especially, it was one of the things that he was especially good at was he would make gold and silver kalim. And he would make on them beautiful pictures. He would carve on them. Like, he would make bowls and bottles with gold and silver. With, like, all different pictures on it. And a lot of people wanted...
Teacup.
Right, I don't know about a teacup. He would make from gold and silver. He would draw all different things, all different pictures.
Maybe a cup and a cup.
Stuff that's... Because why does it take good gold?
Right, for wine, but the other things. Also, it would mix different metals. I don't know. Anyway, there was a lot of demand for his schoira, for the things that he made.
What?
A lot of demand. A lot of people wanted to buy. He's always busy. And he learned this job from his father, who was also a goldsmith. But besides for being a musician and a goldsmith, Yosef Yisrael knew by heart the whole Tanakh, all the Shisha Sidri Mishnah, and also a few Masechtos of Gemara.
And
whenever he would sit and do his work, right, with the gold and silver in his shop, he would chazer Baal Peh. He didn't have to look in Sfarim. He would chazer over... different things of learning, Tanakh and Gemara and Mishnayos.
But you said you only come out. He was rich because so much people were getting gold and silver.
That's right. No, so what's the connection?
But you said he wasn't around people and tons of people were getting.
I mean, he didn't like to talk to people, you know, to hang around, to fabring. He kept to himself. He would work in his shop, and someone came to buy. He didn't kick, he didn't go away from people, but he
didn't look.
Maybe. Now, he was Asher Anderson's neighbor, Yisrael Chaim and his wife's neighbor, and when he found out how Asher Anderson, the boy, the child, has such a great memory, he would say the Tanakh in front of him, and that way the genius boy would remember it forever. And even when he was older, he was able to chazer over. He would say, "This I heard from Rabbi Yosef Yisrael." He would chazer it over exactly the way he heard it, Baal Peh. Now, while he was being supported by his shver, his father-in-law, the rich man, Rabbi Asher Anderson bought many sfarim that were written in Chsav Yad, but there was a little bit of a problem. He didn't really need to buy a sefer. Because he would look at the sefer once, he would read it, and he knew it forever. He didn't have to really keep it, but what's for him anyway? Now, just to give you an idea, here we're starting chapter 124, just to give you an idea of how great...
There's chapters in a chapter.
Right, Rabbi Asher Anderson was. So we'll give you an example. Every year, on Erev Shavuos, you would make a siyum. But what do you make a siyum on, Shalom Bear? A parsha, a mesechta, perek mishnayis, a mesechta. You just make a siyum, right? A party, a siyum. He would make a siyum, but guess what he made a siyum on every year? The entire Shas, Bavli, and Yerushalmi, and many more Sfarim that he would learn. He would learn the whole Gemara every year. And
you know what's fun? There's a one page that everyone is writing There's like 1,000 scars on one page of Gemara.
Yeah, there is a lot of sperm. That's true. Now, and when it came to the machlokes of against or for Kabbalah, Rabbi Asher Yonason was on the side that was against Kabbalah. Now, a group of Balabatim, who were also Lamdanim in Poznan, they asked Rabbi Asher Yonason to make a special yeshiva for their children, who were also very smart boys, and he would give them shiurim. And Rabbi Moshe, Reish HaKal, you want to know what we're talking about, Rabbi Moshe? He was also one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Asher Yonason, and he learned from his Rebbe also a lot of things, including to be against Kabbalah. But Rabbi Moshe's opinion about Kabbalah didn't prevent him from making a shidduch for his great son, the Lamdan of Shnei Zalman, with Rochel, the daughter of Baruch Batlin, which is another whole story. But even when it came to his marrying off his daughter, he married her off to Kaddish, even though the Kaddish came from Mekubalim, and his father was a Mekubal, because he thought that Kaddish is a bit different, and also his father is not alive anymore and being Mashpianim, and he thought he could change his mind. And now, we are up to the part where, after Kaddish got married, Baruch, and Baruch had, so we had the one shidduch. Remember, we spoke about.
He was called Kaddish?
It doesn't. No, I didn't say. I don't know. We have two. I don't think so. We spoke about two shidduchim, right? One shidduch was two chavrusa, Kaddish and Binyamin. So Kaddish, we heard already how he got married to, what was his wife's name? Who remembers? No, not Rachel.
His wife.
To Freidel,
who wasn't his wife.
Was Kaddish's wife. She was Rabbi Moshe's daughter. And there was a time for the second shidduch. Second shidduch for Binyamin. Who's Binyamin going to marry? Now, even though a lot of people wanted to marry Binyamin, his father said, I have to go ask my Rebbe. And soon we're going to find out in the next chapter who Rabbi Yoel Baal Shem chose that should be the kala of Rabbi Asher Yonason, and there was a very, very interesting story about. I'm sorry, of Binyamin, and there's a very interesting story about this chasana, this shidduch, and this lechayim, which we'll meet Hashem here in the next chapter. Gute Nacht, Mashiach.